I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. I mentioned last week that this is not just a Christmas series. I've done a lot of shorter series, but my hope, my desire is to actually preach through the whole book of Matthew, which I think I said this last week as well. That's probably going to take 3 or 4 years, so it's going to take a while, but we're 1/28 done. So we're getting there, right? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have been so gracious to us in every way, including revealing yourself to us through Holy Scripture. And Father, we just pray that you would open up your word for us this morning. We pray, I pray that I would speak clearly and that you would just empower me through your Holy Spirit and just help everyone to hear and to understand and to receive this message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want to do this morning, just like most Sundays, is to simply take us through this passage verse by verse. And then at the very end, I'll offer some reflections. But that's what we want to do. We're going to work through these 12 verses. If you were with us last week, on Christmas Sunday, we looked at the birth of Christ and Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. Of course, Luke chapter 2, he gives an account of the birth of Christ. But it says here in verse 1, after Jesus was born. So this happened sometime after the birth of Christ. He was probably 6 months, maybe a year old, when these events that we're going to look at take place. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Now, we know quite a bit about Herod. He was also known as Herod the Great. He was a regional or a territorial king under the Roman Caesar Augustus. And really, in the whole scheme of things, at least the global scheme of things, he wasn't that powerful. Because, of course, you had Rome, the great Roman Empire, and then in the east you had Mesopotamia, and they were a great empire as well, although Rome ruled the world. So he was just this territorial king kind of in the middle between these two great powers. He was famous for his many building projects, including the Temple Mount, which took several decades to complete. In fact, it wasn't even finished until years after he died. So it was a huge building project. That's what he did. That's one of the things he was known for. He reigned from around 40 BC until his death in 4 BC. That tells us that Jesus was born around 5 or 6 BC because he was around 2 years old when Herod died. So there's just a little, I could tell you more. I don't want to bore you with all the details. That's a little behind the life of Herod, who he was. Matthew continues, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Now, I'm sure you've heard the Christmas carol. I almost sung it, or had us sing it this morning. "We Three Kings." You've heard that before. It's in our hymnal. A great Christmas carol. But here's the deal with that hymn. They weren't kings, and there was probably a lot more than three of them. So sorry to burst your bubble if that, maybe that's a special hymn for you, I'm not sure. But as I said, they weren't kings, and there was probably a lot more than three of them. So who were these guys, is the question maybe you're asking. Well, it comes from the Greek word magus. That's where we get magi from. If you look at the footnote, at least in the ESV, it says magi. So wise men can also be translated magi. And they were actually a tribe of people that goes way back, like maybe even to the time of Abraham. They go way back. They came to be very well known. They were not magicians, like some believe, and like the word came to mean. They were wise men. They were really, really smart dudes. These guys were, we'd call them scholars. They were schooled in many different fields of science, and especially astronomy, the study of the stars and the galaxies and the heavens. Matthew tells us that they were from the east. Not a very specific description, but likely they were from Mesopotamia, the region of ancient Babylon. We'll talk about them later. But this was a journey that we know would have taken months and months. It was hundreds and hundreds of miles. Very long journey to complete. But they did it. They wanted to be part of this event, this amazing event in the history of the world. And when they finally arrived in Jerusalem, after this long and very difficult journey, the whole city would have taken notice. I mean, this would have been a big deal. It wasn't just three guys on three camels with a few supplies in hand. This would have been a huge caravan. You would have had the magi, however many there were, and then a whole bunch of servants to go along with them. Everyone in Jerusalem, well, most people in Jerusalem would have taken notice. And by the time we get to verse 2, we learn that this is not a vacation. This is not a sightseeing trip. They didn't come all this way just to see another country, another land. They came with a very specific purpose in mind, and that was to worship. To worship the newborn king. And it's interesting because these guys were Gentiles. They weren't Jews, they were Gentiles, but they had come to worship the one who was born king of the Jews. And in fact, that was their question. They started asking people, probably the officials, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, predictably, Herod was troubled by this statement. When the king of the Jews hears a question like this, obviously he's going to be troubled. It's going to cause him some stress. Where's the king? Wait a minute, I thought I was the king. So you can imagine what he's thinking here. And you need to understand that Herod clung to his power like few rulers in the history of the world. He really did. He was always suspicious. We know he killed at least two of his sons because he thought that they were trying to take the throne from him. One historian famously said that it was safer to be the king's pig than the king's son. So this guy was not afraid to kill people, even in his own family. He was troubled by this question, and for good reason. Where's the king? These outsiders, these foreigners, they come and they ask the question, where's the king? And you can imagine what he was thinking. Well, we need to ask a couple questions of our text. First off, how is it that these magi knew of the newborn king? How did they know? And secondly, what star are they talking about? What is the star of Bethlehem? We're going to have to speculate a little because we don't know for sure with these questions, but I think there's some clues that Scripture gives us. You remember the story of Daniel in the Old Testament. It's a long one. I'm not going to recap it for you. You can read that on your own. But even after the exiles returned to Israel from Babylon, Daniel stayed. He had this really long, amazing career. God used him with at least four different Babylonian kings. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, being the most famous. But after all that and after the exiles started to return, Daniel stayed. That means that he spent most of his life in a pagan nation, even though he's a very committed Jew. And it's very possible that Daniel started a school of wise men that continued all the way down to New Testament times. That's like 5 or 6 centuries, long time. So the Magi that we read about in our passage, they were a lot like Daniel. It's very possible that his school of wise men continued on for centuries. And so this would help us understand how they could have exposure to Holy Scripture, the writings of the Old Testament. It would have introduced them to many of the prophecies of Scripture, especially concerning the Messiah, the Christ child. Now, in regards to the star, I must reiterate that we don't know for sure. There's been all kinds of theories set forth as to what was the star, but there's no consensus, I guess you'd say. About a month ago, if you were with us, I showed a documentary on the Star of Bethlehem at our Sunday evening service. It's a really fascinating documentary. It's by a guy named Chris Larson. I would certainly commend it to you, but what he suggests is that the star was actually a conjunction of planets that came together, and it made it appeared as though it was the brightest star in the history of the world. And of course, planets are wandering stars. So that's a possibility, and I tend to agree with him on that. But not all scholars buy into his arguments. But that's okay. That's okay, because really this is a secondary issue. Maybe you're wondering, well, what's the main issue? Well, the main issue is that the star was obviously very bright and prominent, very unique, and it signaled to the Magi that something important, and that really that's an understatement, monumentally important had happened. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So when they saw the star, it signaled to them that something incredible had happened. Oh. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 24. Book of Numbers. Of course, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Chapter 24, I want to read verse 17 to you. This is an oracle or a prophecy of Balaam, who is actually another pagan. Here we have these wise men who were not Jewish, but Balaam, God used him, even though he was, certainly wouldn't call him a man of God. God used him to give these prophecies, and we're just going to look at one verse. You're going to see where the star is mentioned. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. So it's a little bit confusing, of course, but there's two key things there. You've got the star and then the scepter. The scepter, of course, if you had the scepter, you had the right to reign and to rule. And so we see those together, a star and a scepter. Kings held scepters. They had the right to rule. So there is, I guess you might say that the prophecy concerning the star, although not all scholars agree on that. But this star sighting was what prompted their journey in the first place, several months prior. And if it had not been for the star, along with some other prophecies in the book of Daniel and in the Old Testament, they would not have made this long, arduous journey. That it was a huge sacrifice for them to come all this way. And then in verse 4, we see Herod's response to all this. How did he respond? The wise men kind of tell him their story, why they have come all this way. Here's how Herod responded. He called together the chief priests and the scribes. They were the Jewish scholars. And he wanted to find out where the Christ was to be born. And of course the answer is Bethlehem, the city of David. We know some things about Bethlehem. We talked about that last week. It's the city of David. Of course, David lived 1,000 years prior to the time of Christ. But its history actually goes back further. That was where Jacob buried his wife Rachel in Genesis chapter 35. So it had quite a history. We know that it was roughly 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. In fact, you can go visit Bethlehem if you want to. Of course, that would be a long trip for us, even though we have airplanes these days. It'd still be a long trip. What I'm saying is it's still there today. So Herod wants to know where the Christ was to be born. And of course, the prophet Micah gives the answer. I just want to read this real quick to you. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." So that is the prophecy concerning where the Christ was to be born. And of course, the scribes knew this. The chief priests, they knew this. They knew their Bibles. How sad it is that even though they knew the scriptures, none of them made the short trip down to Bethlehem. As I said, it's only like 6 miles. They were experts in the law, but it never seemed to touch their hearts. They were cold. They were indifferent to the truth of God. And friends, may it never be so with us. So Herod found the information that he was looking for, but he also wanted to know when the star first appeared. As I said earlier, it was probably months earlier when the star first appeared, when Jesus was born. But it signaled the birth of this new king, this Messiah, who was not just the king of the Jews, he was the king of the world, the king of the universe. The Magi knew the monumental significance of the star. And by the time we get to verse 8, we have Herod directing the Magi to go to Bethlehem to find the baby, and then he wants them to send word back. And it's interesting, he says, here's the reason, so that I too may come and worship him. Now, did Herod really want to go and worship? He didn't want to go and worship. We know that the one and only reason that the Magi have come all this way was to worship the king. But Herod had very different motives. Instead of worship, he wants to murder. He's like Satan. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And next week, we're going to look at how he attempts to do just that. There's a huge contrast between the wise men, the magi, and Herod. Completely different motives. Take a look at verse 9. We see how the magi went on their way. They did as Herod instructed them to do. What's interesting is that the same star that they had seen before, they can see it once again. And if it is a planetary conjunction, then it's coming back together. The planets are once again moving. And of course, in the ancient world, the movement of the stars was very important, very symbolic. When most people went to bed, they were looking up at the stars. They were looking up at the sky. When we go to bed, we're looking up at the ceiling, unless we go camping and you're hardcore and you don't use a tent. So while most everyone had a knowledge of astronomy, the magi were experts, and they would have noticed how the planets, these wandering stars, were beginning to line up again. It's very significant in the ancient world. Well, what's difficult to understand here in our text is that Matthew tells us that the star went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. If you read the language there closely, it almost sounds as if the star is moving. At least that's how I read it. It's one thing to have a wandering planet that appears to move rapidly throughout the sky. It's another thing to have a star that actually you can see moving and is actually guiding people down to Bethlehem. Of course, at the end of the day, God is God. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. That means he's omnipotent. And we have to believe that God ordained and guided this whole process. We don't know all the details. I'm telling you what I know. But at the end of the day, we need to trust God's word. We need to believe it by faith. We don't want to miss the forest for the trees. Take a look at verse 10. Matthew tells us that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. This was confirmation of this long, long journey that they had. They experienced this incredible joy, maybe the greatest joy that's humanly possible. Their journey had not been in vain. There was a new king, and they would worship the newborn king. But again, we see the importance of the star. The star is really central in our passage, just like the magi are central to this passage. Verse 11, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him."